Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I want to continue in this same vein that I've been speaking about. Some of my discernment field trips, I call them, to spiritually toxic places, including but not limited to only liberal churches, of course. But we've been looking at some of these spiritually toxic places that are, of course, liberal churches. And over the last months, I have taken you on a tour of liberal churches across the U.S. For instance, Fellowship Congregational Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I lived at one time for a few years. This is part of the United Church of Christ denomination. I took you to Grace Cathedral, so to speak, in San Francisco, which is an Episcopal church, very liberal. And then, of course, most recently, the All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, California, where I also lived for a number of years. And we will look at yet another influential Episcopal church when we do look at the ghost of liberalism future in the near future. And that is the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, where I had the opportunity to make one trip and one visit, which is what I also did in the Bay Area to the Grace Cathedral Church, whereas I went several times to All Saints in Pasadena. Now, of course, there are other liberal denominations than the ones I've mentioned here. In the past, I've mentioned United Methodist as well, I think. But, there is the United Methodist, there's the Disciples of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And, there are others as well. But I found a magazine recently, actually in a church just down the street from where I live, which is a Lutheran, a Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Of course, not all Lutheran churches are liberal. Two of the three denominations, are. The Missouri Synod is not. They are conservative. But anyway, or at least last time I checked, let's put it that way. But this particular Evangelical Church in America church, which is called, it was called Peace Lutheran, I believe. But anyway, I went down there and I wanted to get some information about that particular denomination. I wanted to know which of the Lutheran sects it was part of, or which splinter groups, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, when I went down there, I actually found that they had a magazine, of course, called Living Lutheran. And an article there I found very interesting called Unity and Diversity. And I'm going in this direction temporarily just to point out what's going on with some of these liberal denominations as a whole and some of the directions some of them are going. This is not surprising, of course, and if you've been following my series, you wouldn't be surprised or shocked by this. But on page 32 of the current issue of Living Lutheran, in this article, Unity and Diversity, we read this. Let us break bread together was the anthem that resounded loudly and clearly on March 26th as four Christian denominations worshipped and shared the Eucharist at the United Church of Christ Center in Cleveland, Ohio. The churches had gathered to celebrate the 20th anniversary of signing the Formula of Agreement, which declares full communion exists between the ELCA, which is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and three Reformed bodies, the Presbyterian USA Church, which, of course, I'll be talking more about tonight, or at least one of the local churches that are part of that group, and the Reformed Church in America, the RCA, and, of course, the first one mentioned, the United Church of Christ. It goes on to say, the article, the ELCA currently has three other full communion agreements with the Episcopal Church, the Moravian Church in America, and the United Methodist Church. So, you know, I've already mentioned United Methodist and Episcopal quite a bit, but these very liberal denominations are already linked with the Evangelical Lutherans in America, and now most recently these other three groups that have come together with these liberal Lutherans. Very interesting. What is full communion, it says? A full communion agreement is a way for denominations to affirm each other. And that's a big word amongst these folks. You know, they affirm people. They're also inclusive, which we've used that term many times as well, as opposed to exclusive. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus was exclusive in that regard. He said, only by me. But he was open to anybody who would come and be saved. So when they say they're inclusive, they're talking more about their politics, their sexual politics, etc. But anyway, it says a full communion agreement is a way for denominations to affirm each other as members of the same baptized body of Christ. It allows churches to recognize each other's sacraments and affirm their various ministries. It also allows for recognizing the ordination of ministers, which has led to the sharing of clergy between denominations. You see the harlot church of Revelation 17 coming together more and more. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church will no doubt be a big part of it. And of course, the Pope is very liberal. But we see this movement more and more. And I thought that was fascinating in this article, just to see another bit of the puzzle coming together here. Also from the article, the statement was made, when the world divides, we as a church say we are not divided. Well, they're not the true church, of course. As I say, they're going to be part of the harlot church, not the bride of Christ, because they deny the truth of the truths, the essential doctrines of the Bible, and replace them with their liberal agendas. Let's see. Through the agreement, heads of each communion and ecumenical officers have developed deep relationships with one another, giving them the assurance to speak with one voice. This agreement, closing the article, it says, this agreement is valuable for us as Lutherans because it reminds us about our common witness in the world. This is particularly important as we commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Revelation, excuse me, I got distracted, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You know, Luther would be turning over in his grave. We recognize that the church's history and the Reformation are part of a larger story that has unfolded over many years and for many traditions. So, pretty wild, I think. But anyway, tonight, though, I want to look at some what I call hometown heretics, beginning with the First Presbyterian Church in Evansville, Indiana. This is part of the Presbyterian Church USA, which is one of these bodies getting together with this Evangelical Lutheran Church. I call it Hometown Heretics because Evansville is my hometown. This is where I was born. And as I have traveled to many sites across the country, even the world, I've also visited this particular site, this church in my hometown. Now, this will be the last stop, so to speak, on my Ghosts of Liberalism present tour. But as I said earlier, I will have at least one more stop in an Episcopal church when we look at the ghost of liberalism future. I chose this so-called church because on several occasions when I visited Evansville, I noticed a local free magazine called News for You, which basically is a local who's who of entertainment sites, etc. I guess you could refer to it as a hedonist guide for people in the area. You know, the hottest bars and different things that are happening in this area. But now I say that not to say that there aren't, you know, any respectable entertainment venues mentioned in the magazine, you know, but I think you get the idea. Now, what grabbed my attention was the monthly column in this monthly magazine called Ask the Pastor. And I thought, whoa, what do we have here? Ask the Pastor with Kevin Fleming of First Presbyterian Church. My comment on that would be, what a great platform for a liberal pastor to scratch itching ears of prospective future parishioners to his brand of counterfeit Christianity in the area. Don't get me wrong, we all need to be ready to reach out to the lost. You know, we're all like beggars looking for bread, or we were before we met Christ, and you know, sinners, of course, we all need Christ, some more established and proficient sinners than others, if you will. But so don't get me wrong, I don't want to come across legalistic, but when this Ask the Pastor deals with his topics, And I will say more about that. But this is a great platform because there are people within that are sinners, you know, who want to hear a different gospel. They want to hear a liberal gospel, which isn't really a gospel or not the gospel, because they have itching ears. And that's what's happening with this particular individual. Now, each month, of course, he deals with a different topic, some of greater spiritual significance than others. But we will look at some of these topics later, probably next week. I probably won't have time to look at these actual column topics that I've collected as in my comings and goings out of Evansville. And I give a spoiler alert here. You know, his response to several of these topics left no doubt in my mind that he's a liberal wolf leading many down the broad road to destruction, which, of course, is the title of this liberalism series I've been doing, Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. Now, on one of my times in Evansville, I took a field trip to his spiritual toxic church, and not to actually a service, but to collect information, which is what I've done at many of these places. Sometimes I've attended services. Sometimes I've just gone on a reconnaissance mission, if you will. Now, I was not disappointed, though, as far as confirming the liberal agenda of this so-called church. Of course, knowing in advance that they're part of the Presbyterian Church USA, I was not surprised, as I knew that they were one of the most liberal denominations of the denominations. In addition, they're anti-Israel. So there's an added bonus that not necessarily all liberal churches are anti-Israel, to my knowledge, but they are. And here you thought it was just the Ku Klux Klan and other neo-Nazi groups, you know, not a liberal. But yes, the Presbyterian Church USA are anti-Israel. Now, I want to begin to look at some of my insights into yet another liberal church, of course, this Presbyterian Church USA group, First Presbyterian Church here in Evansville, or here in my hometown. Now, the materials that I've collected, I want to look at some of these different things. I've got a little assortment similar to what I had last time around at the All Saints Church. But just I'm trying to give you insights into general liberalism because there are so many different topics. And, of course, there's so many ways that liberals misinterpret Scripture and twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. You know, you need to pray for liberals just like you would for any cult or any person in the occult that are in spiritual darkness, especially, I think, more so probably for liberal churches and liberal so-called progressive churches or Christians than anybody. Because, of course, they certainly don't think that they're a cult, and they, in fact, think that they are the true Christians. Of course, that's what cults believe, too, in most cases, I guess, or at least so-called Christian cults, non-Christian cults, what have you. But anyway, let's look at a few of these documents that I picked up. They have one, it's called Our Calling. You know, in other words, what is their calling? Well, here it is in print. And let's just take a look at that for a minute. First Presbyterian Church is called to embody God's love. I'm not going to read this whole statement. It says, as a community of open-minded, and there's a key word for you, a key term, open-minded. And I added my own phrase, and that would be biblically illiterate, because they're so open-minded that their brains basically fall out when it comes to the Scripture. It says, open-minded, open-hearted disciples. We covenant to support and encourage one another as we explore God's grace on our journey of faith. That's okay. Then it goes on to say, we're called to share the good news that God cares about each and every one of us without exception. But of course, there's no mention of the good news of being rescued from hell, which of course is what John 3:16 is all about, that whosoever would come to Christ would not perish, would not be eternally judged, as all of us are deserving. When they talk a lot about the love of Christ or the love of God, they don't talk about the justice. They talk about social justice and other kinds of justice, but they don't talk about God's justice and that he's not just a God of love. But anyway, it says that care and love was the reason Jesus came among us. Jesus taught love of God and love of neighbor as the way to authentic life. Well, that's true. But as I say, he didn't teach just about love and God's love. Thank God for God's love. But there's more to God. There's many other attributes, of course. There's no mention of that love which sent him to the cross, or at least the true purposes for Christ's coming, dying, atoning for our sins, and then raising from the dead. Many liberal denominations do not believe any of those essential doctrines that I just mentioned. We at First Presbyterian Church live this life of love. We partner with God and share life-changing love with the world around us. You know, the result is that individual lives, communities, and institutions are changed to reflect God's goodness and care for all creation. Well, of course, let's all hug a tree. You know, we're going to care for his creation. You know, I think we should care for God's creation, don't get me wrong. But don't get me going either, forgive me, concerning climate change and what have you. But anyway, there is something profoundly powerful when a group of individuals come together and unites in common purpose. Yes, but not Christ's purpose, which is the Great Commission for true Christians to go and reach the lost with the gospel that will save their souls when they leave this veil of tears, when they leave this mist. Our life is like a mist, we're told. We're sojourners. Our time here is very short. We don't get tied up in this short term. We look at eternal perspectives, or at least true Christians do, unlike the liberals. Now, our community embraces all people. We have pledged ourselves to a life that is best described as open-minded and open-hearted. We know that all too often people are described with words that divide: liberal, conservative, rich, poor, white, brown, black, male, female, gay, straight, so many more. Jesus prayed that we might be one. But he also prayed that we would turn from sin, like, the lady at the well. None of us are perfect, even after we come to Christ. But the idea is we're not so all-inclusive that we are not willing to change our mind. That's what repentance is. We change our mind about things. Not so with the liberals. That was the first document I wanted to go over. Now, the next one is that was their calling statement. This is their values statement. We value times of purposed gathering. Faith begins and grows in community. No, that's not true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christians can lead and we are given the Great Commission to go and lead other people to Christ, to salvation. But it begins and grows with the word of God, not just because we're in a community with some people. It's not all about community. That's part of the deal. But anyway, I digress. We value each individual, they say, as created in God's image and worthy of respect and appreciation. But in reality, folks, we are fallen and depraved because of that fall. We have a fallen nature. There's no hope to reform it or change it. We have to be born again. We have to have a new nature. It's not what they believe in down at this church. We covenant to join in the struggle to overcome every form of prejudice, help every person discern his or her God-given calling and gifts, and together build the beloved community of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is building his bride, according to Ephesians, and of course the Holy Spirit is adding to the church as he chooses, just as in the book of Acts. So it's not that we come together in community and then we build this community or this kingdom of God they talk a lot about. We have a great commission to reach people with the eternal gospel, with an eternal perspective. And then we spend our short time here doing that eternal perspective and calling. We value actively engaging the world. We do not shrink from the challenge of living faithfully to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. We believe the world's need for grace and truth is profound, and we will give ourselves to the work of social justice, righteousness, peacemaking, equality, caring for the planet, there you go, caring for the planet, and finding new ways to live responsible, more faithful lives. Faithful to who? Faithful to what? You know, I say, they say, We do not shrink from the challenge of living faithfully. No, no, you're not faithful. The bride of Christ is faithful. People who believe in the Scripture, conservative understanding and appreciation of Scripture, are people who are faithful to God because they're faithful to His Word. Liberals who do not interpret the Scripture, but those who actually attack the Scripture, find error in Scripture, or at least that's what they proclaim that they have, and then basically replace it with man's ideas, they're not faithful at all. But they're actually unfaithful, like a harlot. And doesn't that just fit the biblical narrative of this coming harlot church of Revelation 17? Not the bride of Christ, but a harlot that the Antichrist will use as he builds his kingdom here on earth. Christ will bring his kingdom. The Antichrist will build his kingdom here with the help of his faithful harlot church. Now, when he talks about living faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I say, and what is that gospel? He doesn't say it's to save us from eternal death. I guess I've harped on that a little bit, but so important and so neglected among all the liberal churches. We believe that through prayer and spiritual disciplines, we grow into the people of that God created us to be. Yeah, but not the kind that you speak of. These are my comments, of course. And when he talks about spiritual disciplines, of course, this is going to be next week or the week after. I can see that now with my time. But when he talks about spiritual disciplines, of course, you'll see once again the problems of contemplative prayer, contemplative spirituality are in this liberal denomination, just like many others, just like in Catholic mysticism of the monks that practice it, and even in the evangelical churches, unfortunately. We believe we value generosity. We believe in a generous God who blesses us beyond what we deserve. But again, no mention of deliverance from the lake of fire. The generosity that God has given in his sending his own son to shed his blood for us so that we will not be forever lost in the eternal lake of fire because he loved us so much. His son had to take that punishment. He goes on to say, a note from the pastor. He says, I'll confess that First Pres, as we call it, is a different kind of church. Of course, my notes are, that's for sure, but not unlike other unfaithful liberal churches. Not really that different from those of their ilk. He says that when he asks visitors about their experience, words like warm, welcoming, hospitable, enjoyable, and meaningful are among the words most often used. I'm sure they're warm, welcoming. I'm sure all that's true, even hospitable. Remember, according to the liberals, it was inhospitality that caused God to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, right? It didn't have anything to do with homosexuality. Of course, Jude would say differently. But, you know, when he says they're hospitable, I'm sure they are because, you know, they don't want to be like the Sodom and Gomorrah folks who were judged for their inhospitality. Anyway, I'm being sarcastic, but that's because we're in a warfare here, and it's a very serious matter when it comes to God's spiritual truth. It says, but we're a really good church that does its best to be faithful to God. And I put in my little parentheses here, but not God's word. In their own mind, yes, maybe they think they're being faithful to God. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, we make every effort to incorporate the values of our congregation into our daily lives and to reflect those values as we live together as a community, there's that word again, of believers, but not the values of God according to his word. I have to keep mentioning that. Lest you be deceived by the liberal doublespeak. Now, this is from it's actually a little First Reports, it's called, June-July issue, and it says, the summer sermon series, a special series of sermons, has been planned for the months of July and August, growing out of a presentation that Kevin made at the Islamic Center during One God, One Community. This series addresses some of the challenges facing our congregation in the years ahead. One God, One Community, One God. Let's see, Kevin the pastor of this liberal church went to the Islamic Center to speak to Muslims during the One God, One Community. Really? There's only one God? Well, you know he's right. There is only one God. And his name's not Allah. It's not Vishnu. It's not Krishna. it's the words and the titles that are given to him in Holy Scripture, the 66 books of the Bible. Jesus Christ is his son. Jesus the Christ, who came here to die for our sins. Jehovah is one of his names and titles, or titles. Jehovah is his name. And my point, of course, when he goes to the Islamic Center to tell, you know, the Muslims that we're all serving that same one God, well, that's a major problem, isn't it? It's one that the liberals don't seem to be able to get a grip on. They don't see a problem. Anyway, this series addresses some of the challenges facing our congregation in the years ahead. And then, of course, there's some of the topics being, okay, I'll just hit a couple of them. Being a justice-oriented church, there's that justice. Of course, that goes in line with the social justice, social gospel you hear so much about. Being an inclusive church, there it is. We're not exclusive. Everybody can come and nobody needs to change. that's what the inclusive, that's what it really means. And I went over that in earlier podcasts, that term inclusive. And as I said earlier, affirming is another term that's used among liberals a lot. They're recurring weekly events. They have a lunch power yoga on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They have, once again, their power yoga all over. So get together and practice a little yoga as they... you know, they don't want to leave anybody out here. They Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims. Hey, because it's one God and one community. Anyway, before I go into any more of the materials, I see I'm closing in on my time. So I will be spending more time. We're going to look at three sermon transcripts that I picked up from this recent. Sermons that this pastor, so-called, this wolf, was preaching on, the power of authenticity, the search for reality, and what are you looking at? So I'll be commenting more, and then we'll also be looking at the devotional, the daily devotional of the Presbyterian Church USA called These Days. So anyway, I see my time is up. God bless you all. I hope you'll return with me next week if we're not with the Lord. God bless you. Good night.